I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes! How about that? A walk-off two-run home run to the bleachers in left by David Fry.
Todd Hamilton, who else? Guardians Radio, what a moment. Perloff down to their final strike. People are saying down to their final out. Yeah, that too. Down to their final strike. And the Guardians come back to rally and to win this game in extras. They get on the board in game three of the ALCS. It's 2-1 Yankees, but Cleveland has officially made this a series. That was one of the most exciting baseball games I've seen.
Yeah, it was amazing. It reminded me a little bit of... depending on what happens on the series, Jermaine Kearse had that crazy catch in the Seahawks-Patriots Super Bowl.
Okay.
Right, the bobbling catch, and it would have been one of the great plays in Super Bowl history, but the Seahawks didn't win the game, so it fell to the wayside. This game will be defined by what happens the rest of the series. If the Guardians go on to win this series, it is going to be one of the great underdog stories of all time, down to your last out. But if the Yankees go on to win, I don't think it will be as memorable.
Well,
so I think the history,
it's in the
has
balance.
History has not been written on this game yet. Then again, Carlton Fisk's famous home run where he's,
yeah.
I think they lost that series, right?
So it's funny because I'm thinking about this. I think it means more because it was the Yankees. I think
right, but
it
what
always
if they don't,
means more.
What if they don't win the series, though?
Well,
then
we got to get there. We got to get there. I don't know. I want to live in the moment for a second because I think that's what the Guardians should be doing. You know?
No, you have a series, man. You can't live in the moment. There's no moment in baseball. It's a 7-game series.
I know, but I think, can we bask in the glow of this for a second? Because for as many as Yankee fans are all across the country and the globe, there's as many Yankee haters. You've got so many people who are rooting against the Yankees so hard, especially now that Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge are starting to hit, and they have back-to-back home runs in this game off Emmanuel Class A, which we will talk about. But if there's any, like, the poster child for, like, Yankee dominance are these 2 6-foot-6 guys who
The bullies. The neighborhood bullies.
Right. Like, in real life, they're nice guys. But
yeah,
like,
but it feels like they're the expensive, brawny team. They are as classic Goliath as there is.
It's and like the Guardians, literally Goliath.
The Guardians became
yeah.
David.
Yeah.
They are big. They're big David.
Yeah,
Noel,
no, they got some big boys
small.
On their team too. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a symbolism to this, right? Which is Yankees. I know they've been down for a while. They've won a World Series since 2009. But what is like the image of the Yankees, who called themselves the Evil Empire, and these Twin Tower guys who hit back to back in this lineup? Add in Juan Soto if you want to, and you have, you know, just these mammoth dudes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you took them down. And you took them down with pinch hitters. You took them down with guys who are just grinding. And this has been, you know, listen, the Guardians are a good team. They wouldn't be one of the final four teams if they're not. But the fact that they rallied in this way and have made this a series and got themselves off the mat, I thought it was over. I thought it was over because, and we're going to talk to Ryan Dempster later on in the show, and I'm so glad we have a former pitcher on the show today, Pearl, because Emmanuel Class A gave up 2 home runs in the regular season.
Yeah.
And now he's given up 3 home runs in the postseason, including those back-to-backs to Judge and Stanton, as I mentioned, that tied the game and then took the lead for the Yankees. And as a pitcher, how do you move past that?
Yeah.
Because he is going to be still so important if the Guardians are actually going to come back and win the series and make that David Fry home run an all-timer.
Yeah, even the way you're talking about it now, it just feels like you're leaning too heavily in that narrative. They play tonight. So I think there's no basking in the glory. Here's another question. If you're the Yankees, do you get tight after this? Because it felt they must have thought we won this game. I mean, I think that's
definitely
a natural inclination. Is that going to carry over? Is that like such a big 2 home runs that that's going to win the next game for them? Are the Yankees going to get out of their game? Are they going to get into their head? I feel like the Yankees historically is a team that can get in their own head.
Well, you have to wonder because the whole linchpin of this thing for the Yankees, and we talk about Judge, we talk about Stanton and the symbolic, like Juan Soto, the expensive looming free agent, but the real linchpin here for the New York Yankees has been Luke Weaver. You don't know him. Nobody knew him. Okay. And Luke Weaver has been this guy who's come in to become the closer for the Yankees, and all of a sudden, like Cinderella story, if the Yankees can have such a thing. He comes out of nowhere to become this charismatic, cool character, wiry kind of guy who became their closer when Clay Holmes couldn't hold the job anymore. And so if Weaver gets all rattled, the Yankees bullpen was the reason why you had Yankee fans basically crying into their Bud Lights all year because they thought there's no way this team's going to be able to hold up because the bullpen is so bad. And Luke Weaver came and stabilized everything in the back of the bullpen, and he has been one of the major stories of the Yankees. We'll give Aaron Judge all the credit, Stanton being a postseason monster. It's been Luke Weaver. If he's rattled Perloff, could be over for New York.
My counter, though, is, come on, if Aaron Judge is going to be awake like this, it might not be over. I mean, come on.
I heard Luke Weaver's a big part of this.
I live amongst Yankee fans, and all I heard was, well, you know, Judge isn't really hitting. Now that he's hitting, I'm not sure it's going to come down to Luke Weaver. I think if those guys, because the Guardians really needed a miracle here. So, again, I'm questioning your narrative here that you might be jumping on this too soon.
We'll see what wins in the postseason.
Yeah, but
pitching and defense.
Again, but what actually doesn't carry over in the postseason? Anything. Every time they walk out, anything that you learned in the last game is completely gone in the next game. Yeah. My experience, you have to hear my experience watching this game.
Oh, please tell me.
So it was a bit of a reunion with some old college buddies. Last night we were at Keen's Steakhouse, which is a classic New York City steakhouse.
Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous. I had no idea you were at Keen's.
But you won't be jealous when you hear about how I watched the game. So dinner's over and we go to watch the late innings of the game. There are 50 finance bros wearing the vest. You know, the there's a commercial out where the woman wears the vest. Finance bros in the sort of uniform.
It's a fleece vest, generally. Yes. Yes. Could be puffer, but it's generally fleece, and it generally has the name of your company.
Yes, it had
J.P. Morgan.
I was sitting,
Barclays,
standing next to a blue City vest.
City, sure.
Watching, and this is
every credit card you have, they're wearing that.
Yes.
Or whatever your financial person is.
These guys were eating red meat, and when I literally saw the Judge and Stan Homers, and they're like, they're fist bumping as if they are Judge and Stan. And I'm like, this is the ultimate machismo mail room. And you. And me, yeah, no, I'm sitting the nerd in the corner.
You're at the Dartmouth table.
No, I did not fit in. I don't fit in this crowd at all. Like, I wish I was a finance bro because those guys are so rich. It's crazy. Anyway, so they were sure they were. They were celebrating all night, and they were celebrating up until the Noel home run. Mm. And then to see these guys, these captains of industry, as you said, crying to their Bud Lights was quite a scene.
I mean, knowing that there's sad finance bros out there somewhere makes me kind of happy today.
Well, you said, like they're the classic
Goliath. Also, don't kill our economy.
Yeah, they're the classic, you know, favorite, the team that it's easy to root against.
Totally.
Although it is, I, as a neutral fan, I'm a Phillies fan. Yeah. I do like Judge. I mean, it's fun to see him wake up.
Listen, I mean, he's an exciting guy. Yeah. One of the best hitters in the league, for sure. But, yeah. Oh, I love the vest guys. We're all sad last night. Oh, go cry into your Connecticut mansions. Something tells me those guys are going to be okay. 855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in on what happened last night in this amazing baseball game. Again, if you missed it, Cleveland down to their final strike.
By the way, then I had to walk out of the steakhouse and go to the Subway, and I passed a pizza shop with a bunch of Mets fans.
If that's not the truth, if you don't live in New York, that is exactly the finance bros are at the steakhouse bar having their bourbon, watching the Yankees, and the Mets fans are at a pizza shop watching on a probably not even a flat screen TV, an old school TV, maybe a little grainy, and just like talking like this. And that's just what it is.
Wait, these are cliches. Is this really,
that's it. It's not accurate. A cliche. How do you think it became a cliche? Because it's so true.
I was in cliche land last night with the Yankees.
People ask for a slice here. What do you want with this? That a lot of, you think I slap the table a lot? I learned it from going to pizza spots in New York.
Do you think there's any way? I mean, it feels like MLB wants to engineer, and that, not that they're doing anything to do this, but a Yankees-Dodgers World Series sure seems like that'd be a thing.
I consider it a makeup call for last year's Diamondbacks and Rangers, which, listen, it was fine. It's just if you're talking about, you know, market size and stars and stuff like that, not that they don't have them. It's just to have Ohtani and Judge going head-to-head. And now Mookie Betts has been awesome. We can talk about the NL side of this. You got a lot of sad Mets fans, including me today, because, you know, this is what's sad about the NL side of it. And, again, you're welcome to call in on all of this. We have plenty of football for you, too. It's a big college football weekend. But this is where I was especially bummed last night as a Mets fan. So this whole run has been all about comebacks. It's been all about when you're down and you're desperate in these late innings, and once you get to the bullpen and the Mets finding ways to just come back on in series that they may not had no business winning. Maybe they did. I don't know. But it's the bottom of the sixth inning, and you've got bases loaded, and you're down 7-2. And to be honest, during this Mets run, this is where it would have happened.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it's a Lindor grand slam. Maybe it's, you know, just a rally. Maybe it's, you know, whatever way they've been able to do it in the past. And they left the bases loaded. It was bases loaded, no outs, and they could not bring a run home. And that's where it's like, oh, well, maybe the magic is over, because OMG and Grimace and all of the totems that the Mets, excuse me, have had, it's like, did the luck run out a little bit?
Because
they would have delivered in those moments. Like, that's how they've been doing it all postseason.
But they have a little magic feel. Maybe they come back for 3-1. Any hope? Okay. By the way, Andrew Bogus will come in. I was thinking all night he's taking his 11-year-old son to the game tonight. It's tonight, right? Yep.
They get to see the Temptations. A win.
The Temptations, the band?
Yeah, they're singing the national anthem and singing My Girl before the first pitch.
Oh, because that's Lindor's walk-up song.
So, and if the Mets somehow come back, I'm going to be hearing My Girl the rest of the fall.
Yes.
Oh, for the next 20 years.
It's a pretty good song, so I'll take that.
I have a question. How many members of the original Temptations are still even in this band?
Good question.
Ryan, you can get on that, please.
I'm a big Temptations fan. There's a great made-for-TV movie about their backstory. Oh, my God, did they have drama.
I'm sure. All those Motown bands and stuff from that time.
I feel like the Temptations took it to a new level because they were so talented. Anyway, is there a Temptations play on Broadway, too? Is it the real Temptations or the guys in the play? Probably the real Temptations.
That's a good question, though.
Is there a Temptations play?
I think so. I think it came out during the pandemic.
It's a great time to be going to the theater.
It's called Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of the Temptations. And I think it was supposed to be outstanding, kind of like Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
About
Frankie Valli.
Frankie Valli, which I've never seen, but I've always wanted to see. Have you ever seen it?
It's really good. I did see it. Yeah.
So anyway, Temptations. Okay, I could see this. See, I'm telling you not to give up on Mets fans.
I'm not going to give up because, you know, you never know with this team. But that was a moment I was like, oh, well. You know, you got Ohtani and you've got Betts hitting and you've got the guys in the bottom of the lineup who like are, you know, you got the 700 million guys are hitting and then you got the 700,000 guys are hitting. It's like, uh-oh. You know, listen, the Mets have themselves to blame because the pitchers and the pitching staff have issued 31 walks in 4 games. What do you think's going to happen
when you have all those
guys on base?
You could say the Dodgers have a discerning eye.
That, or they just lost command, or I don't know. Anyway, 855-212-4227. You got a classic, an all-time classic baseball game last night between the Yankees and the Guardians. Were you rooting against the Yankees? Be honest, America. Perloff?
In a steakhouse
with the finance
pros? I'm like deeply a National League fan, so I'm neutral on the Yankees-Guardians. But that was really exciting. Now I'm kind of into the Guardians because that would be an all-time story. But again, there's another game tonight. Like, if the Yankees win this, then it'll quickly fade into history, which is a shame. Otherwise, it's going to be like the Big Christmas is going to be part of our lives.
What a nickname.
Oh, my God. A good nickname?
John Kenzie Noel, a.k.a. Big Christmas.
By the way, you were saying that the new Bash Brothers, Judge and Stanton, are big. Big Christmas is a good 6'3", 260, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen Naylor, first baseman for the Guardians?
Yeah, that dude
looks like he could play offensive line.
Yeah. So it's not like these Cleveland Guardians are this little team out of nowhere. They're not exactly the team from Hoosiers. They're pretty good, too.
Yeah. Payroll-wise, a little different. 855-212-4227. Okay. Gosh, do we have so much. We have baseball from last night, of course. There actually was a football game last night, if you want to call it that.
Sort of.
Kinda.
That was a disgrace to football.
Yeah.
Not awesome. Although, I do have opinions about it. Even as bad as it was, I do have opinions on that Saints-Denver game. We also have a massive weekend that we got to get you set for, from college football to the NFL. And there could be another superstar on the move in the NFL. We got some quotes that came out yesterday that have us raising an eyebrow. Could an all-pro be on the move? Another one. It's Maggie and Perloff on this Friday. Good morning.
Maggie, I am so pumped. Football season heating up. We got baseball, WNBA still going down, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while watching any of these sports with over 10 million members and billions of dollars in award winnings. I'm not sure how you did last night. I was a winner. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all, easy to use. Pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less than their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money.
Okay, I'm on a streak right now.
Yeah.
I'm on a little bit of a heater, so I almost don't even want to talk about it because I don't want to jinx it. But I'm on a little bit of a heater here with Prize Picks. I did not even need flex play because I didn't need to cash out because my picks have been hitting. Thank you, Aaron Judge. Thank you to
Matt. Did you go? Oh.
It was Bo Nix rushing yards. Yes.
Mine was Bo Nix under passing yards.
Also a winner.
I actually showed the bros at Keen's last night Prize Picks. I'm not kidding. I was following Bo Nix last night. I pulled out my phone and showed them Prize Picks, and now there's like four more people into it.
Amazing. Well, now the finance bros are on. Now it's no longer our little secret, and it should not be your secret either. All you got to do is download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP, not MANDP. It's MNP.
MANP actually technically works.
It does
spell the same.
Work. Get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MANP, MANDP on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Fun night last night for baseball. Not so fun for football. Broncos destroy the Saints, what's left of the Saints. Maggie, you say you have some takes off this game.
I do.
I can't wait to hear him because I'll tell you right now, I'm having trouble believing that what we saw means anything for the Broncos last night. But if you saw something there, I want to hear it.
Well, my thoughts on this aren't actually as much about the Broncos. I don't really know what to make of Bo Nix at this point. This is really interesting because at some points he can make some plays with his legs, but there are two plays in this game where he is throwing to a receiver, and I don't even know how you do this once, let alone twice.
Yeah.
He throws it in between two of his own receivers. I'm saying perfectly equidistant between one and the other. Like, who were you throwing to?
Incredibly wide open receivers.
Yes, very wide open. There was a lot of wide open people not making plays last night on both sides, but how do you do that twice? You're either overthrew the guy or underthrew the other guy, and it's impossible to tell because it landed right in the middle on the turf.
I know, and he actually, there's certain throws Bo Nix can make. He seems to be able to hit the tight end about 11 yards downfield. Then there are throws to the outside that Bo Nix looks like a rookie times 10.
Well, if you and I can even see that his footwork is that jacked up, what is Sean Payton's got to be like sick to his stomach? Also, fix it. But meanwhile, they won the game last night. They ended up putting a little bit more distance because there was a fumble at the end of the game, a fumble that was returned for a touchdown, made it look worse than it was.
I can't. How could it be worse than it was? This was not a game in any way. If they could just score a touchdown on a field goal, I never thought that game was non-competitive 6 minutes in.
Yeah,
you could tell the Saints did not show up.
Yeah, Will Lutz, really the MVP, the guy nailing 50-yarders for the Broncos. Because here's the other part about the Broncos, and then I'll get to my point about the Saints, which I think is the more important one. But they have a drive. I believe it was their second or third drive of the game, and they had a like fourth and one, and they went for it with a quarterback, or maybe it was a third and one. They went for it with a quarterback sneak is my point. And then later in the next drive, it's a fourth and one. You're in the red zone. You're up 3-0. And you decide to kick the field goal. Like, I get it from a game-playing standpoint. You're playing against Spencer Rattler. The Saints stink. You're not going to need a lot of points to win this game. But why do the quarterback sneak earlier in the game and not at this point in the game?
Well, I mean, I think 6-0 was an insurmountable lead against because
you're right.
I don't know what Spencer Rattler did to that offensive line, but they had no interest in protecting him for even 3 seconds last night. It was basically a free rush to the quarterback every single play.
Yes.
Every single play. There wasn't one time at Spencer Rattler until it got into junk time where he actually sat in the pocket.
6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 was for a pick 6. It was a disaster. So, yeah, my bigger opinions are on the Saints side of this thing, which is it did look like the team quit.
You think?
Well, but this is the second year in a row where I think there were some allegations of maybe some loafing and dogging. So, last year, the Jameis Winston openly defied head coach Dennis Allen and decided to score a touchdown late in the game. Remember that? And
right,
now it looks like the team is quitting on the head coach.
Right. But, I mean, the team, when you say the team, like what's...
The defense.
Yeah, but what's left of the team? I mean, I don't know if those guys are really hurt, but everybody, the entire defense checked out of the game with an injury. There's nobody there. The offense is already down to fourth stringers all across the board. Now the defense, everybody was gone. You couldn't even watch the game. The sideline reporter kept coming back on and being like, this Saints defender is out for the game. This Saints defender is out for the game. This is ridiculous. It's a mass unit. This isn't even a real team anymore.
So this was Richard Sherman. We've got it from halftime of the Amazon broadcast. Here's what he said about the Saints.
I'm confused. I'm vexed. I'm perplexed. I don't get it. They don't want to tackle. They don't want to make plays. These are good players. Tyrann Mathieu is a good player. Why the easiest interception of his life to send him to number 36 and he drops it? I see guys not having effort to get to the ball carrier, to make tackles. Like, I don't understand this. It seems like they want to get their coach fired. That's the effort they're playing with.
All right. So, I mean, maybe Richard Sherman's just sort of feeling himself and kind of just riffing there, but also it did look like they couldn't tackle. And he is talking about Tyrann Mathieu, who dropped a wide-open interception, and maybe that's just a lapse in focus for a minute.
No defensive back in the history of the sport has ever dropped an interception to show up as coach. Like, everybody wants the interception.
That's true. Yeah, that one I don't think was intentional.
No. I mean, well, obviously, it also... Marshawn Lattimore went out. I guess so. Everyone's like, wow, hamstring injury, or is he just quitting? But he's been suffering with that hamstring injury. And then Paulson Adebo broke his leg. That was not good.
Yeah, that was
one bad.
Of those.
I mean,
please don't show me the replay ones.
We were joking about it yesterday. Like, how are you supposed to win a football game with that wide receiving core? Maggie, I mean, maybe they quit, but who are these guys? These are practice squad players who are playing a real game. And Spencer Rattler. Poor guy. He had no chance. I actually like the way he throws the football. I'm into Spencer Rattler. I don't think you are as much. And they might go to Jay Kaner, the other backup. I have no idea. I thought Spencer Rattler comported himself well in an impossible situation.
He was in an impossible situation. You're absolutely right about that. And his Denver defense is a top five unit. I mean, they looked it last night, but are they really? They look good. Again, but the competition was not there. That Paulson Adebo, did that go through the skin?
I don't know.
They didn't say, right? I didn't. I looked away.
It's definitely the ambulance. Was the ambulance? He was on the way to the hospital, like, not long after it happened.
Well, the Kaylee Hartung update was he's on the cart. They put him in that air cast thing, and he's going straight to the x-ray room. I'm like, I don't think he needs the x-ray room. I think we know something is severely broken. Why don't we just take this guy straight to the hospital? I think they did.
I mean, okay, so it's a Thursday night game, and obviously Dennis Allen has no future there. Like, this is his last year with New Orleans. So do you fire him midseason, or do you just let him ride it out? Because I feel like they kept him around. I think a lot of people were surprised that they haven't moved on before because he hasn't had success there. The Bucs now own the division. Do you fire him today, or do you just wait, let ride it out? He's like, what's the point?
I don't know. Does it look like Clint Kubiak's ready to take over this team? It's kind of like setting up to fail if you're that guy. And he could be a rising star or offensive coordinator at some point. I don't know if you would want to take that job. Sometimes guys they'll be offered interim and they just will say, no thanks. I don't want to have the stink on me of being the interim in a sinking ship.
Kubiak's 37. You're right. He feels like he's going to definitely get job offers this year. Although that little Saints run at the beginning of the season feels like a long time ago.
It does. Andrew Bogish is here. You were looking perplexed before. No?
I don't remember now why I might have looked perplexed.
Okay, maybe just watching.
Maybe
this
just trying to figure out Bo Nix's footwork.
That might have been it. I mean, it is on our screen, so it's hard not to watch all of that.
Did you hear us talking about you and your son in the earlier segment?
I did. It is definitely not the day I had planned for me and young Jake, but we'll see.
hey, you could be in the building for an all-time epic comeback, too.
That's the sell. The sell is we start the comeback today.
Could be like Red Sox, Yankees, 04.
Our presence in Queens today is what the Mets need to get a hit in a big spot.
Will he cry if they lose?
No.
Will you cry if they lose?
No.
TBD.
Jake's 11 or is 10?
No, he'll be 11 in December.
Right, so I would think that's a must-cry situation. I'm not saying that to any 11-year-old kid, not Jake in specific.
You want a kid to cry, Pearl.
I don't know. I do want a kid to cry. I want my kid to cry if the team loses, sure.
No, he's not going to cry. He's not a crier in general. I'm assuming if things don't go well tonight, we'll get back in the car and he'll be back on his phone watching some idiot play a video game on YouTube and he'll be fine.
See, maybe that's the silver lining for this generation, everyone being totally addicted to their phones. Really get over the losses a lot faster.
I have to be honest. The famous story, I went out, I was killing time in Long Island, went to see Jake's team play baseball.
Yeah.
They got mercy ruled, and after the game, Jake was immediately on his phone watching a game. Didn't seem to care. And partly because he was the best player on his team, and the rest of the team got mercy ruled, not Jake.
There might be a day where I have to talk to Jake about caring more about things, but that's not where we are yet.
Well,
not that he doesn't care, but he might want to have a little more connection to the outcome.
What do you want with that team? You give him a Tim Tebow halftime speech? That wasn't happening, Bogus.
We had a bad flag football practice last night, and I actually thanked he in the car going home. I said, "I'm very proud of you for not being a putz like some of your teammates."
Did they look like the Saints?
No.
Are they taking their cues from Dennis Allen?
No. Well, I don't know that anybody outwardly talked back to Dennis Allen last night. We've got some chumps on this 10 and 11-year-old flag football
team. Are you coaching?
Oh, man.
I'm an assistant coach.
And they were talking back to you?
No, they know better. No, they don't. Oh. I happen to not be the one saying anything in the moment.
How do you talk back at a flag football practice? About what?
There's just a lot of there's a lot of pouting on the team, as opposed to like my teammates. Let's not be mad that Johnny missed a throw. Let's you can have fun, or somebody drops a pass, go call him whatever, butterfingers, make a joke like that, but not be like, hey, doofus, catch it. Too much negativity.
So like Stephon Diggs yelling at Josh Allen, what's going on?
Yeah,
here?
That's a good thing. We're a team full of prima donna wide receivers.
Wide receivers.
Wow. Yeah. And I'm sure they've all earned it.
I feel like the new 7-on-7 generation of football. We're creating a lot of diva wide receivers. Everyone wants
monsters.
The targets.
Yes.
It's all about the targets.
So
how are you going to get that sweet NIL money? Any targets in your flag football game when you're 11?
Yeah, it starts early. If you haven't signed a deal by the time you're 11, you're behind the eight ball in the NIL game.
And the guy from ANS Bagels in Franklin Square, New York, was at the field watching his practice, ready to hand out those NIL cards.
Yeah.
So I think there's some pressure.
Those $100 handshakes from ANS Bagels? Wow.
Man, if you could dip into that ANS money. No wonder the wide receivers were talking back. Like, this is big money.
It's a lot on the line, even on a Thursday night practice.
You better hope that you keep these kids happy. They're going to H&H Bagels next season. They're going to hit the portal. You think they're the only bagel game in town? No way.
Oh, man, that's so funny.
Rainbow bagel money, that stuff.
There's
enough dye in there to kill a small village. I'm sorry.
I heard a really good take, and this is related to Jake's team, that the reason we're seeing more wide receivers get pouty like George Pickens is because there's so much money going to receivers now. They're getting $35 million that their agents are telling them, you got to get targets because you're about to get super rich. So now we've created an NFL where all the wide receivers are all about me, even more than ever.
And
apparently it's trickling down.
Yep.
I'm sorry, you don't think that any of what Terrell Owens did was about money?
Yeah, but it feels like now it's like, now the wide receiver is like the mini quarterback. Like, I do think the money has changed that position. Yeah, like, there's a wide receiver on some team I can't remember who actually blocks, and the announcer's like, yeah, you don't see that anymore. Basically wide receivers are more upset about targets than ever before. I've seen it all around the league. Have you noticed that? Guys are like, I need targets.
I mean, yeah, I'm seeing that most notably, I think, with the Bengals, but a lot of teams.
Yeah, and did anybody wear the eye black like George Pickens? Like, I'm open.
With the F word on it?
Yeah. I'll tell you. I won't be there Sunday morning. I got to report on Sunday morning's game. We'll see if anybody's wearing.
I might come out for this one. I love watching flag football.
This is where, I mean, obviously, Perloff, I know you love your daughters. Their daughters are your life. You're a great dad and great girl dad. But I feel like this is where you probably wanted a son to do the flag football stuff. Not that she can't, not that your daughters can't play, but they're just not into it.
No, now a lot of girls play flag football. You're right. They unfortunately inherited a lot of my athletic ability, which is not so good. Not so good.
Stick with the theater.
Are they as flimsy as you? Do they get hurt a lot or?
I don't think I'm flimsy. I think I'm a grit guy who just gets down and dirty and like I'll have some injuries. What do you mean flimsy?
Well, you do call us and text us multiple times from many doctor's offices all around the city.
I did have a basketball player in my run say the season hasn't started officially until Pearl gets injured. And that happened week one. I jammed my left index finger.
I know. And then text us from the emergency room. Like,
oh, my God.
Just got shot.
I walk into the emergency room on a Saturday morning. They're like, it's like Norm from Cheers. It's like, Andrew, welcome back. What is it, the knee, the ankle? What do you got going?
You have your foot doctor on speed dial. He's been a guest on this show. You've taken his Knicks tickets. Like, you guys have a deep relationship with your doc.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a frequent visitor.
But, I mean, listen, I think I'm a normal weekend warrior. We're all hurt.
I haven't bled yet on this show. You've had stitches since we've been together.
Oh, my God. I have stitches all over my body from basketball.
Okay, that's my point.
Yeah. Well, I think you're not trying hard enough.
Just like your flag football team.
The bench is safe.
Yeah, you're like a Saints defense safety right now.
All business decisions over here.
Yeah.
Let's get to the headlines.
I assume that my good friend Mr. Perloff still thinks the Mets have the Dodgers right where they want
right
them.
Right where they want
but
them.
But they most certainly do not.
Now Maton's 2-2. Bet swings, hits a high fly ball left field, going back Nimmo on the track, at the wall. It is out of here! Mookie Betts, watch that one fly from the batter's box, admiring a two-run blast.
Steven Nelson on Dodgers Radio. Mookie Betts, 4 hits, 4 RBI, 3 runs scored in LA's third rout of the Mets in this NLCS. This one was 10-2. The Dodgers, 3 wins by a combined score of 27-2. Manager Dave Roberts is impressed.
I love the way that our guys haven't let off the gas in the sense of, you know, I think that, you know, the outcome of the last 2 games, certainly if you watch the games, doesn't tell the story. And so the way we were able to add on the last couple nights has been huge.
The Dodgers can win their 25th National League pennant later today, a 5:08 Eastern first pitch in New York.
Did you see when Shohei hit that leadoff homer?
The Yankees had all but wrapped up the AL pennant yesterday in Cleveland, 1 out away from a 5-3 win and a 3-0 lead on the Guardians.
John Kenzie Noel's last home run came against Pittsburgh August 30th. No time like the present. 5-3 Yankees, runner at second, 2 down, 9th inning, and the 1-0 pitch. Swung out and hammered! High, deep to left! Away out of here!
Tom Hamilton speaking it into existence on Guardians Radio. John Kenzie Noel's mammoth 2-run homer, extending game 3. David Fry's 2-run shot, bottom 10. Ended at 7-5, so the Yankee lead is down to 2-1. Game 4 tonight at 8, still in Cleveland. I almost forgot to mention that there was Thursday night football. The Broncos hammered the injury-riddled Saints 33-10. Sean Payton wins in his return to town. The Saints lose after inducting Drew Brees into their Hall of Fame. Dennis Allen's boys have now dropped 5 in a row.
There was nothing complimentary about the game. You know, in particular early on in the game, we weren't really able to get anything going offensively, defensively. You know, we allowed them to have too many long drives.
The Saints gave up 2 rushing scores to Javonte Williams. They did not find the end zone themselves until there were 82 seconds left in the game.
Why don't you be crazy?
Please.
The Saints beat the Cowboys 44-19 this year. Doesn't that feel like that was like 2021? That was this year. Alvin Kamara was the best running back in football a month ago.
Yeah. Haven't won since.
Yeah.
The Cowboys should be demoted to some smaller league as a result of that game since the last 5 have gone.
Like soccer? Yeah.
Or relegated?
They should get a second loss. Like tack on another one in retrospect.
Well, they were facing a way different Saints team because of the injuries. But still.
Yes. But
still the same coaching staff.
I believe I've called the Saints frauds, and I think I was called a hater. What did I was like 2-0. I don't think this is going to hold up. I believe I was called a hater.
Like you've been accused of being a Brock Purdy hater, which you're not.
hate and still be right.
What's that?
You can hate and still be right.
Yes, I think.
So wait, she could still be a hater even if she was right?
But you're a correct hater.
I think that there's something about hater that implies that it's personal. Like, I'm not personal on Brock Purdy. I've been critical.
Sports hating is not personal. That's, like, defined by your own fandom. Like, there's nothing to say, LeBron's a fraud is not personal.
Well, I think being a hater is like, you know, just kind of raining on someone's parade. A sports hate is like, I hated Chase Utley all those years, or I hated Chipper Jones. Like, I hated Brian Cox, you know, guys like that. That's like, I hate you because you were good against my teams. This is just like being a hater, like yucking someone's yums. But I think that they were always set for a big fall.
I think there's one player that you're the ultimate hater on. And even though you've been kind of quiet about it, I'm sorry. You are definitely a Sam Darnold hater.
Again, not personal.
Not personal.
I'm a Sam Darnold critiquer.
I feel like every time he throws a touchdown this year, you're like shocked still. Like, it's hard to get Jets Sam Darnold out of your mind.
Even a blind squirrel, Pearl. I'm sorry. Is that what you're talking about? Stuff like that.
What did you say to me in the break about that upcoming game?
I said, are we going to fight for who gets to take Detroit plus the points in our picks coming up later?
But right, there's nothing. No, you could be a hater. I don't think there's anything personal about being a hater at all. I think you could be a sports hater. Just be like, oh, this team is overrated because they played bad teams. That's what a hater.
Yes. I guess I'll let you know when it's personal. What else you got, Bo?
There's that, too.
More on this throughout the morning. Virginia men's basketball coach Tony Bennett's retiring abruptly. We don't know why yet, but it's apparently not health-related. There's a press conference at 11 a.m. Eastern. Our San Jose Sharks are now winless through four games after a 4-2 loss in Chicago. Artemi Panarin scored three times in the Rangers' 5-2 win in Detroit. And the Kings snapped a three-game skid with a 4-1 win in Montreal. They are now 2-1-2 on a season-opening seven-game road trip because of renovations at the old Staples Center. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much. You're chomping at the bit to get to this story.
Oh, I'm not sure which one you mean. I can't wait.
I feel like you walked in this morning, didn't even say good morning. Yeah. You went right into it.
I'm still laughing at that you had to throw in a blind squirrel, finds a nut about Sam Darnold. Like, you can't help yourself. But anyway, whatever I'm excited about, let's go.
I'm excited.
Back in a minute, Maggie Burloff.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get to Max Crosby's cryptic, not so cryptic words in just a moment. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. But I walked in today. Pearl, you didn't even say good morning.
Yeah.
You just went straight into the shocking news from yesterday that Tony Bennett, the head coach of UVA men's basketball, is going to retire this afternoon.
Right.
This morning. Incredibly
weird timing. This narrative that he's tired of the new NIL world is utterly ridiculous. Because I get that if you're a college football coach. Maybe the NIL world is tough to deal with. You put five basketball players on a court. You're in the ACC where guys have been getting paid since the beginning of time. It's that hard to organize this new world of, how am I going to organize? You have seven players who rotate in. Like, you can't figure out how to pay these guys. It's so exhausting for Tony Bennett. Get out of here. And if NIL was so exhausting, like, this is when you retire, there's no way that's a story.
Okay, well, I wanted Bogish to stay here because he has a theory about why this happened, because the timing is pretty crazy considering if teams still do Midnight Madness, that's probably happening in a week or so, and the season starts the first week of November.
Yeah, no, we're past the Midnight Madness.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, teams are already practicing. There are scrimmage games now. We're past that part of the calendar. And this is not my theory. This is a theory that's floating around, is that this was kind of like a power play by Tony Bennett to manipulate the calendar, where he did this now so that his guy became the interim coach. They didn't have time to hire an actual new head coach. And doing so now, basically, while they do have a 30-day window to transfer the players, no one's going to leave because we're on the verge of the season in the middle of an academic semester. So transferring and credits and staying eligible in 3 weeks at a different school is basically impossible. So they're kind of locked in to this year, with the roster they wanted and maybe the guy that Bennett wanted in charge to coach the year and maybe earn himself the actual job for next year.
Right. So a couple things about that. Also, the other schools have their roster set. I don't think all of a sudden Kentucky and Duke are going to say, hey, we got a spot for you. Come on over. That's probably unlikely. And then the other part, like, this is where I love that theory because I don't think we're going to find out there's a scandal or something because I don't think you get a goodbye press conference if you're resigning under some kind of bad action or something like that. The one thing about that is Coach K got to pick his successor. Roy Williams got to pick his successor.
Yeah.
Tony Bennett for UVA is that guy to them.
Agreed.
I mean, he has two things on his resume. He's got the worst loss in the history of college basketball, being the first ever one seed to be toppled by a 16 seed in UMBC, and then coming back and winning it all the next year. But you win a title at UVA. I mean, that's you're immortal there. He's going to have a statue. The court will be named after him. Like, why wouldn't he be able to handpick his successor? Why would he have to play this game with the athletic department?
Yeah, and
doesn't add up. No, I totally agree.
But maybe keeping the roster intact was the bigger part of the kind of the calendar play.
Now we're manipulating young people, which is great.
That roster so precious? Even like, who cares? I mean, they're not a contender, I imagine.
Fifth in the ACC.
It's just your roster. It's not an empty piece of paper, and you're scrambling for people to fill it.
But you can't say the guy's quitting 20 days before the season to help the team. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
No, he might have done it to help the program, so to speak.
To keep things the same.
I can't, that doesn't add up to me. Like, I'm like, how can I help the program? Why don't I quit 2 weeks before the season? Like, that's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he really was so worried about helping the program, he'd coach the team this year.
Yeah. I mean, like everybody else, when this came out yesterday and none of the newsbreakers attached an actual reason to it, I thought everyone was thinking one or both of these things, that he was either sick or something bad was coming and he was getting ahead of it.
Right.
And it's they've said it's not health related.
That's the important thing. And thank God.
Right. You know? But no one has said it wasn't a bad thing either. Like they've killed off the idea that he was sick, but no one has said like it's not about anything bad on the horizon.
Oh, a scandal?
Right. As far as I've seen. So, like, that's on the table, I guess, in theory. This doing it now to keep the roster there, I think, is on the table. Is it possible because the season was coming and he just went, you know what, I'm not into this anymore? I don't want to sleepwalk through a season. He's like, maybe it's just better if I can't do 100% of this job that I leave now. I guess that's possible too.
Yeah, that's just extremely rare for guys just to quit because all of a sudden they don't have the passion for it.
But I feel like some players have quit like on the verge of like, okay, I actually don't want to go to training camp or I don't want to go to spring training. They go, all right, I'm just going to stay home. He didn't stay home, but still, it's about to be the real grind. And he goes, ugh, never mind.
But I
just don't think if it's a scandal, I don't think they give him the opportunity to have the press conference and he's going to get this. Like, it's going to be, I imagine, a lot of happy memories and a lot of fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible he sits down and tells us something today at 11 o'clock? Is he gonna own something? Is the press conference to take to accept responsibility for something?
The NCAA, I mean, what can you do? I mean, is there improper? I know they went after Jim Harbaugh, and there's still guys who get, you know, NCAA violations, but do you think it's something like that? I think we'd know.
Well, I mean,
the NCAA would leak that.
I find that hard to imagine in today's atmosphere that he would have to resign because of NCAA issues. Like, that, they have no teeth anymore. You know, I don't like this narrative where it's like, oh, now Coach K has left the game and Jay Wright has left the game. Jay Wright's a similar age, but Tony Bennett is not Coach K or Nick Saban. Like, those guys are in their 70s. So don't tell me this sport's too difficult or even the NCAA. If he was 55 and there was an NCAA violation, he would have plenty of time to put that behind him and get back on track. So
and no one leaves
there's
got to
be
anymore.
Something different.
Because it takes so long to play out and you almost never get in trouble. Like, Bill Self has been in real trouble and it probably has never considered leaving Kansas.
No,
sure. So I don't think it's, if it's something bad, it's something HR personal or, I mean, not like criminal, but it's
again,
not.
Wouldn't that be embarrassing to the program to have him sit up there and at a press conference if it's something like this has just happened at Rutgers University? Yeah. If you saw this, these headlines, the athletic director apparently was having an affair with the gymnastics coach. Well, that's a no-no, but he didn't get a press conference. They gave like a little statement back in August, like, oh, he checked with his cardiologist and now he's got to go away for a while.
They lied to us. They went for sympathy first.
Yeah. It's totally Rutgers.
Yeah.
And then decided, I think someone blew the whistle because these two people were not keeping their affairs quiet at all. I don't think that's that guy didn't get a press conference.
But I bet you there are lots of coaches who've left and we don't really know the real reason why.
I'll give you that, but this one is very public. It's like on the letterhead, if you will, of the school.
Right, it's the school's press conference, not Tony Bennett at off-site location.
Right,
press
but like there are other coaches who've retired young, and I'll bet you we don't know the real story of what happened.
It's possible. I mean,
this is college basketball. This is a sport built on a lie. they can figure out ways to lie. By the way, I see this is interesting. Did you guys know Tony Bennett is still the all-time leading three-point shooter in college basketball history, according to the Wikipedia? I don't remember him as a player at all, but apparently he was a spicy point guard.
University of Wisconsin Green Bay.
Yeah, back in the day. And this idea, too, that college basketball needs him, nobody, they'll be fine.
855-212-4227. Back to football next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.